track 12. Here is Brian with this week's feature items.
Hello. We have two feature items for you today. The first is from last week's Advertiser column, In Tynmouth 50 Years Ago, edited by Christina Civita. She tells us that in August 1976 there was an item entitled Tape Recorders for the Blind, which read as follows. Mrs. Muriel Braddock, who has also lost the use of both legs and her right arm, is now going totally blind. She formed the Exeter Tapes for the Handicapped Association in 1971. In June 1975, this brave, enterprising woman was awarded the MBE. The project of supplying lonely, disabled people with tapes to cheer and interest them has been taken up by Len Wright, chairman of the Tynmouth Fellowship. Two people have already been supplied with tape recorders, and another is being set up in memory of Fred Brown. Each disabled person can ask, for example, for Beethoven or a banjo band, or for a book to be recorded for them. Tynmouth Library staff are ready and willing to record books, stories and poems, while Dr. Thompson of the Grammar School will muster pupils with technical know-how for the recordings. Well, this was all before Dryden's Journal was started in 1977, and I wonder what happened to that project. Our second item comes from the Newton Abbott Museum magazine. In the light of the recent report from the Ministry of Defence regarding the potential closure of the Ilford Park Polish home in 2028 due to the decline in resident numbers, the museum explores the origins of the Polish settlement at Stover. The history of the site. The buildings that made up the original Polish camp, later replaced by a purpose-built care home, had not been intended as housing when they were first placed. In anticipation of casualties from D-Day landings, an American military hospital was erected in Stover Park on land that had previously been the north part of the Stover Golf Course. This hospital was made up of small brick buildings with corrugated iron roofs and was designed to accommodate 750 patients plus staff. However, numbers far exceeded initial estimates, and by the time that the hospital closed in August 1944, the total casualties treated there had exceeded 7,000. When World War II ended, the site of the hospital camp was selected as one of the 45 resettlement camps set up across the country under the Polish Resettlement Act of 1947, also known as, quotes, the Winston Churchill Promise. In recognition of the role the Polish people played in the Allied victory, Churchill pledged that Britain, quotes, will never forget the debt they owe to the Polish troops who have served them so valiantly. And so in 1948, the golf club was paid £4,000 for the land, and the hospital camp became the resettlement camp and was known as Little Poland. It welcomed war veterans and those Poles who had survived war, deportation and labour camps, and who remained displaced by war due to Poland remaining under Soviet rule. By 1964, Ilford Park was a thriving community, with a church, a priest, a doctor, a shop selling Polish goods, and a twice-monthly cinema. By the late 1980s, the huts were showing their age, and the purpose of the park had evolved to serve the ageing community and become a residential care home rather than a village for families of all ages. Many of the huts were demolished, and in 1992, the new care home was officially opened. Today, there are just 40 residents at the home. It can house 95. To be eligible to live there, you must meet one of the terms of the Polish Resettlement Act of 1947. Although the home is located in a rural area here in Devon, as the last remaining Polish hostel set up under the Act, Ilford Park serves the whole of Great Britain. 2021 census data indicated around 3,800 Polish nationals over 76 years of age were in the UK, so it's possible that there are some qualifying individuals that could increase numbers at the home, but currently the future of this unique place looks uncertain.